this is a new look for me right here, and it's going to be the look from now on. As I look out over the crowd, about the fifth or sixth row, faces get dark, and I can't really see them. My eyes are failing me, and I have macular degeneration. That means that my optometrist just smiles at me and says, come back and see me in a year. That's just what that means. He's just monitoring the downslide. Before, I'm going to talk for y'all for a few minutes before we get started. I read this book about a year ago, Encouragement, by Mark Chansky. Do y'all remember that name, Mark Chansky? He was here with us just a few days back. I'm sorry, I keep taking my glasses off. Got to stick them right there and leave them there. If you would like a copy of this, there's a box on them down here in the front. But there's a requirement. You have to read it. And if you break into it, you will read it. You'll read it all. It's a great book. It's a great book. And then there's the next responsibility that you have. If you get it and you read it, you hand it to somebody else and have them read it, okay? In other words, spread the word around. There's a box full of them down here, so y'all come ahead and get you one after service, okay? Let's bow our heads and hearts and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to stand today. Lord, I'd ask that you'd quicken me, enable me to see what I need to see and to say what I need to say. Lord, you fill my heart with a message, and I ask, Lord, that you might bless that message this morning. We rejoice in you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. I have a hymnal down here. Turn to number 365, and we're going to sing right here, guys. Now, it's awful when we don't have music in here. Where's Rex when you need him? But he'll be here soon, I'm sure. 365. This is a hymn we sing pretty regularly, and it speaks about the Word of God. Y'all join in with me. It goes like this. I'm going to speak to you today, which is October the 29th. Tuesday is October the 31st. Does anybody know anything that happened on October 31st that's famous? Oh, I knew somebody was going to say Halloween. Come on now, guys. I used to dress up like a clown. My aunt actually made me a clown costume, and it was a little bit too much at the time. But anyway... Anyway, we'll get away from that. No, the Reformation Day is upon us right now. 506 years ago, Tuesday, Martin Luther is credited. Now, there were hundreds of reformers. Wasn't just him, but he was credited with getting the ball rolling. He nailed those 95 theses up and everything, and everything broke loose just real fast. But today is that day. We put them on the walls in days gone by. Can y'all remember, let me just help me here just a bit. As you walk out the door of the sanctuary right here, on the right is the what? Bathroom. Everybody knows where the bathrooms are. Is the bathrooms. And up on that wall, just before you get to the bathrooms, there was some sayings up there. Can anybody rehearse any of that to me? The Sola Scriptura. That's one of them. What else was there? Sola Gratia. What else was there? Sola Fide. What else was there? Sola Christus. That's right. There's one more. Sola Gloria de la Gloria. What does sola mean? Alone, only. Only. It means alone. So these are five tenets that came out of the Reformation, along with the doctrines of grace, that Calvin was awarded the writing of those. 80 years after he died, they became famous. And that was all because of another 5 points that came up, and they had to rebut them. And so they just took Calvin and quoted him word for word and rebutted at that time. But the 5 solas have been written on our walls. We are a Reformed Baptist church, guys, and that means that we come out of the Reformation. We're those that have come out of the Reformation. We look back, and even though a lot of people poo-poo the Reformation, it was just a bad dream kind of thing. I look back on it as great historic significance to our world and to us here at Grace Baptist Church. Amen. And good. The sola gratias means by grace alone. You're saved by grace alone. These are tenets that came out of the Reformation. Sola fide means it's by faith that you, it's not by works. It's by faith that you're saved. Grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sola scriptura means this book right here is to be honored. We just sang ancient words ever true. We honored this book today. And we rejoice in the fact that down through the centuries, it has been providentially preserved. The writings in this book date back 4,000 years. And they've been written in our language, and men gave their lives so that we might have it in our language and we can read these words. Gloriously wonderful. Sola de la gloria. Everything we do is to be for God's glory, not for anything of us, but for Him. But for Him. And I forgot one. Which one was it, Art? Sola Christus. Oh, yes. We sing it all the time, don't we? In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. It's Christ. It's Christ. I love 405 in our hymnal. It's a book. I've only been able to memorize one verse of it, and I have been working on it. I used to can memorize a hymn in 15 minutes. Now I can't memorize a verse in 2 hours, and then after 2 hours, I've got to go back and read it again and again. It says, not in me, not in me. A beautiful hymn. I love it. We sang it one Sunday a few weeks ago during communion. Beautiful hymn. No list of sins I have not done. I like to glory in the things I have not done, but there's another list of all the things I've done. No list of sins I have not done. No list of virtues I pursue. I like to list all my virtues that I pursue. I mean, we like to stack those up, but it doesn't count. No list of those I am not like. I am not like y'all. I am not like y'all. And you better be glad you're not like me. But no list of those I am not like can earn myself a place with you. Oh God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner through and through. Did I misquote it? I'm a sinner through and through. Oh, that's Josiah in the back. I thought someone was correcting me. Reading along with me, that'd be fine. Oh, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner through and through. My only hope of righteousness is not in me, but only you. That's Christ alone. That's where we stand as a church today. I'd like for you, if you would, turn to John chapter 3. We're going to read the first 9 verses of John chapter 3, and forgive me for mistakes I might make, but very famous. Y'all know these verses. Very famous. It says this: "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus was a pretty sharp guy. Most of the rest of those guys didn't figure that out. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind listeth, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be? Surely you've lost your mind, Jesus Christ. Surely you've lost your mind." I'd like to take just a few minutes this morning, and this is the thrust of my message this morning, to just rehearse to y'all the great heritage that we have in the Reformation. And one of the great tenets of the Reformation was justification by faith alone, okay? We're justified by faith, not by any works that we've done. We're justified by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. And this speaks about those coming to the Lord. This idea of the new birth and this doctrine of regeneration that we have right here, in many ways poo-pooed in a lot of areas of Christendom. Do not believe it. Do not believe it. Don't want to have anything to do with it. We have other means by which you can become a Christian. And yet I don't believe those to be true. I don't believe those to be true. And it's captured. There's been an unbelievable departure from the beautiful old doctrine of regeneration. And it's important that we sort of take it underway this morning. In this little 9 verses that I read right here, you might have noticed 3 times it says something. What did it say? Come on now, help me out. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. 3 times it says that in this passage. 3 times it very clearly sets forth, and what's more important here, in many ways, is who said these words. These words were said by our Lord. Now, he was speaking to an old man right there, but down through the centuries, these words have been very much honored in Reformed circles. We rejoice that we believe in being born again by the Spirit of God. We believe in that. We believe in that. True patriots, down through the centuries, the church has fought under the banner of you must be born again. They fought under it. And we must hold to this doctrine of the new birth primarily, and I'm going to give some reasons now. We should hold to this doctrine of the new birth primarily and firstly because it's the king's decree. The king has said this to us. The king, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, spoke these words. John 3 is probably one of the most quoted passages in all of Christendom. It's not usually right here at this part, but a lot of times it is at this part. But our Lord had said this. The king has said this. I want you to imagine with me just a minute. All of my life, England has had a queen. She was coronated and she was crowned queen in 1952. That was the year I was born. And she just died just a few months ago. So she's been queen over there all my life, and now her son's taken over. What is he, king what? Charles? Huh?
King Charles III. Is that right? I didn't even know that. We got a king now, but just imagine that Charles was to make a decree that no person was to walk before him as the king of England unless they were born in England. They were born Englishmen. Nobody else can come. Okay, you got the story? Got that in your mind? And just imagine for a minute Pocahontas and Geronimo, famous American Indians, come and they come in their native Indian garb and they walk up to the Buckingham Palace, knock on the door, and the guards are there and said, "We'd like to see the king." And so he asked, "Were you born in England?" And they said, "No, we were born in America." So, well, you cannot come before the king because the king has decreed that only those that are born in England can come before him. So they walk away dejected, and they said, "What was wrong? What did we do wrong? What did we do wrong?" They said, "Well, our names were wrong." The guy asked for their names, and one was Pocahontas, and the other one was Geronimo. So they said, "These aren't English names. Who ever heard of such names as that? How many children in here are named Geronimo? How many children in here are named Pocahontas? We don't have any of those names." And so they said, "We're going to go change our names." And so they chose John and Mary, and they prayed for a separate guard, another guard to come up. And so they walk up in their Native American dress and everything, and they say, "We're John and Mary, and we would like to see the king." And they said, "Were you born in England?" They said, "No, but we'd like to see the king." "Well, the king has decreed that no one can see him except those who are born in England." So they walk away dejected again. They said, "It was our dress. It was our dress." So they go to the local English store down there, the dress shop, and they change clothes and they come back. Geronimo probably gets a little bit of a haircut. You know, you got to look like you're an Englishman, you know. I don't know that he would ever look like an Englishman. But anyway, he comes to the door once again to knock, and they would like to see the king. And the answer is no again. If you're not born in England, you cannot come to see the king. You cannot come to see the king. And in many ways in our world today, you know, the king that we're speaking about here is the Lord Jesus Christ. In many ways, the king has declared a decree. Except you or I be born again, we will not see the king. We will not see the king. Any way you dress yourself up, any name that you call yourself by, but I'm a member of XYZ Church, doesn't matter. If you have not been born again, you will not see the king. You can change your name. You can change your clothes. But the Lord has to work in your heart because salvation is of the Lord. You must be born again. You must be born again. Now, give me just a minute. I'm going to take my. I have a habit at the office. I don't like wearing these glasses because they hang on my nose. I looked at myself in the mirror the other day with these, and I look funny, to me. Y'all can laugh at me. I thought I look funny to me. So, the minute I get done reading with them, I take them off, and I go about my business. Matter of fact, if I've got them on my eyes right here, I will stumble and fall in the next few moments because they magnify everything so much I can't do it. But we know that those that are not subjects of those born in England cannot come. And so we have these objections. We have objections, and we've uncovered those. But, you know, when Nicodemus heard these words, he said this in verse 9, "How can these things be? How can these things be? This cannot be true. This cannot be true except a man be born again. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. This cannot be true." So we can take Nicodemus' argument and carry it just as far as we can, but he's not the king. He's not the one who made the decree. He has decreed it. He has decreed it. And the very best we can do in our lives to dress ourselves up or make us fitting to come before the Lord is just coming in the flesh. And the Lord says, what is flesh And what is of the Spirit is the Spirit. So please remember these things. Please remember these things. So don't pursue a redefinition of terms. But understand and know there's two kinds of people in the world. Those that know the Lord and those that do not know the Lord. Do not know the Lord. And they're really the only two kinds of people in the world. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, in between. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Those who have experienced the new birth and those that have not. The Bible is abundantly clear on these things. I remember one day, and I think it was Josh Abitoy. One day, he was telling me that he went by a road and saw a bumper sticker or a road sign that said 98% of Christians are going to go to heaven. I said, that'd be a good illustration in a message. 98% of Christians are going to heaven. No, 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 they're not. 100% of Christians are going to be in heaven, and 100% of those who are not are going to be in everlasting damnation. 100%. There's no exceptions. There's no exception. Our Lord put the language here in such a way that He says it, except you have to understand, if you don't do that, if this is not real in your life, you are not mine. You're not mine. You're not mine. You must be born again, again. You must be born again. The Bible divides classes of people in two different categories. Throughout the Word of God, many different classes of people, groups of people. They're the sheep and the goats, for example. Our Lord gathers the nations in Matthew 25, and He separates the sheep from the goats. And He says to the goats, depart from me, I never knew you, into everlasting darkness. And unto the sheep, He says, come and receive the inheritance been prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. That's our Lord defining sheep and the goats. Sheep and the goats. There's also a definition of dead and trespasses and sins, and you hath He quickened. There are those that are dead in their trespasses and sins. They have no heart for the Lord and don't care for the Lord. And then there's this category who have been quickened by the Lord, and that word quickened is an old English term which means made alive. We've been made alive in the Spirit, by the Spirit. We've been made alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has spoken life unto us. Also, there are guests in some places that are accepting the invitation to come, and there are guests that are refusing to come to the feast. They stand in there, stand in opposite ways with one another. This is what the Bible says, and it teaches this throughout. There's darkness and there's light. There's those that are in the light, walking in the light, and those that are walking in darkness. There's children of wrath and children of God. He defines these. These terms are very clearly seen throughout the Word of God. They're children of wrath and children of God. And you know people that are children of wrath. And you know what needs to happen in their lives? They need to be born again. They need to seek the Lord. They need to find the Lord. The Lord needs to find them. We need to pray for them. There's the old man, dead in trespasses and sins, and the new man who's made alive in Jesus Christ the Lord. There's the enemies of the God, and there are those that have been reconciled unto God. Those that have been reconciled unto God. There's those that are condemned, and there are those that can say, there's therefore now no condemnation unto me because of Christ Jesus the Lord and what He has done for me. These are categories of life, and it's very thorough. There's war and peace. That's another one. It's a wonderful thing to be at peace with God. It's a wonderful thing to know Him in the free pardon of sin. And all that don't are in a war with Him. And He wins all the time. We have read the last chapter in the book of Revelation. Our God wins. Jesus is victorious. Those who deny that are at war with him, and they lose. They lose. There's the old heart and the new heart. You know, it's amazing. The Lord says that I'll give unto you a new heart. A new heart. My old heart ain't worth a flip. My old heart was stone cold. I was a wicked child. A wicked child. I lived my life for myself and did many wicked things, so much so that I don't ever want any of y'all to know any of them. But I was wicked over the top. And then I was scared because I knew that if I died, I'd been told, I'd been to church ever since I was knee high. Ever since I could understand, I knew that there was a God who saves, but I knew that there was a God. Woo! And I had an old heart, and I needed a new heart. I needed that new heart. And thank the Lord he gave that new heart. I'm very thankful for that. There's the stony heart, and there's the heart of flesh. These are just things that are comparison. But don't be mistaken. You must be born again by the Spirit of God, or you're not his. You're not his. God supernaturally comes into a man's life and changes him, and you are a new creature. You're a new creation, says in Corinthians. You're not the same old person you were. You're new in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel flows forth in that. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus the Lord. The terms that are used regarding regeneration, and that's what our Lord speaks about right here, is one of them is birth. Birth. I've got 14 grandchildren, and most all of them, I was there when they were born. And they'd bring them in, and they'd put them in my lap, and let me see them, you know. Most of ours were home births. And I'm old Victorian kind of guy, okay? Y'all go back yonder and have that baby and bring that baby to me. And they'd bring them to me, and I'd see these brand new creatures, brand new beautiful little ones, brand new beautiful little ones, hold them in my arms and pray with them and sing with them. I listen, it's a gloriously wonderful thing to see this new creature. Well, that birth is an illustration of the new person. You must be born again. Again, you must be born again. A new person with a new mind walking after the king and the word taking captive, thoughts contrary to the king. We're born again. It's a birth. It's a birth. There are new emotions. There are new emotions. I believe with all my heart I can share with you right now that I love my Lord. I love my Lord. And I think many in here would say amen to that, but I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Fail him in so many ways, but there's this rending of love. There are new emotions. We come here and we worship, and our hearts are full of joy with the Lord as that brother plays and as Rex plays the piano, and we lift our voices unto the Lord. I was in my seat 4 or 5 Sundays ago, and I can't betray who said this, but I was in my seat right there, and I got happy. I don't know if y'all ever get happy in church here, but every now and then I get happy. I mean, we were singing, and my heart was elevated, and I was just rejoicing and singing the Word of God, and I was sort of dancing in my chair. I was sitting down, sort of dancing in my chair. Well, after services, a young lady behind me said, Carol, I saw you over in your chair. I thought for a minute you was going to jump up and run around the church and go Pentecostal on us. I try to stop short of Pentecostal. I said, yeah, well, I'm glad I didn't. But anyway, she said, well, if you had, I'd have followed you. She just said it just like that. Hey, listen, there's a joy in our hearts. The Lord has saved our souls. We should be the happiest people in the world. We should rejoice in it. We have new emotions now, and those emotions are heavenly emotions as we look into the heavens and rejoice in what he has done for us. And here's one of the big dogs. And this is where salvation is actually at in many ways. We have new wheels. We have new wheels. The wheel is the general of the soul. I don't really believe a person is born until their wheel is born again. until there's a change in their will. Change in their will. I will love the Lord. I will run after him. I will keep him. There's a fight that stands between the king, and I'm going to walk uprightly. I'm going to try my best. I want to be noble before my Lord. I want to do that. I want to do that. And I say that with my will. I say that with my will. The noble cause of Christ deserves us standing in the midst of the world. The Bible calls this new birth a quickening. And once again, we've talked about that just a moment ago. But it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead." I'm just going to give you a few verses right here. "You hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." God enters in and gives a new life to people. And we pray that for every one of y'all, that a new life is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a wonderful display of omnipotence. Probably the most notable, wonderful display of the mighty power of Jesus Christ was when he stood before the tomb of Lazarus. And he said, "Roll away the stone." And he shouted, "Lazarus, come forth." Now that was a supernatural moment right then. That's a supernatural moment. And Lazarus rises from the dead, but that's what regeneration does to men. That's what regeneration does to boys and girls. That's what regeneration does when you're saved by the grace of God. We're a new creation. Galatians says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or scission, circumcision availeth anything, or non-circumcision, because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're created in Christ Jesus to good works," Ephesians 2:10. And as I rehearse this, I think about the solemn supernatural change that takes place in a man or woman's life. Amen. Listen, if you've been born again, you're a different person. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. As I look back on it, I mean, I struggled with doubt for years. For 3 or 4 or 5 years. I was born again, and 5 years later, I was baptized. Because I said, "No, this can't be real. This can't really be me. This can't be real. This can't be real." And so I doubted. I doubted. I doubted the Lord God that changed my life. And it was wickedness on my part. But I tell you what, when it all dawned on me that I was a new creature in Christ Jesus the Lord, life changed big time in my life. Changed big time. And I'm thankful for that. I rejoice in that. Change was made. When you're born again, we're born babes. We cannot explain the wonder of what has happened. And yet we must accept that we're different now since Jesus saved our souls. Are you different now since Jesus saved your soul? I'd like to say yes to that, to all my brothers and sisters here. Regardless of your circumstances today, health, wealth, you've heard the king say you must be born again. The question is, have you been born again? Has Christ quickened you? Has he made you alive in Jesus Christ the Lord? Has he made you alive? From the youngest to the oldest who is in faith, we're called to come to him. And it's about this time when the enemy of a soul starts to raise objections, and that's sort of what we're going to look at right here for a moment. Here's some objections that might come in a person's heart that's sitting and says, "Well, I'm not born again, but I can be born again in the next life." Can anyone give me a scripture that will counter that? That's exactly right. That's one. Anybody got another one? Mine was more simple, Art. "As the tree falls, so shall it lie." In other words, when the tree is cut down, it's going to lie right there. You only have that opportunity this side of eternity. There are objections, but they're only those. That's not a question for today. Let's see. "I can be born again in the next life." Not a question for today. "Be assured, as the tree falls, it shall lie." Well, here's another one. "I will take care of this matter before I die." I can take care of this matter before I die. How far away from death are you right now? one breath away. Pete Alfano used to be in our church, and Pete was our doctor. We prayed for a doctor in our church for 15 or 20 years, and the Lord gave us Pete. And he was my doctor for 15 years or so. And he was good. He was a physician assistant. And I mean, he helped me dramatically. Matter of fact, he lifted 500 pounds one day and busted my gut and suffered through it for 2 years. And he said, "Carol, it ain't going to get no better. You got to have it repaired." So there was a repair job done. And so Pete was very much involved in that. Pete one day is telling me, he says, told me about a boy. I think the boy's name was a Wilkerson. I don't remember. And he had asthma. He had asthma. And he forgot his inhaler one day. And he had an asthma attack. And as a young man, he drew his last breath. And when Pete told me that story, I said, that's how far we are away from eternity, is just a breath. We're just a breath away from eternity. You don't wait. Don't wait. The whole thought here before us, if you don't know the Lord, is this. It's like you're in a house that's on fire, okay? And you begin to wonder. You say, "Well, I wonder how the fire started. I wonder what the... Maybe some enemy of mine has come in and started the fire. I would like to look into the dynamics of fire. I'd like to see what fire really is and what it does." You know, and you debate. What do you do when you're in the midst of a fire? You get out. You leave. You run. You try to save those on the way that's in the fire also, but you run. And so many people today think they have fire insurance by what they believe. But except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Cannot enter the kingdom of God. Cannot enter the kingdom of God. The remaining part of the passage in John chapter 3 answers how this works in many ways. Let us take just a moment and read the rest of John chapter 3. Nicodemus had just said in verse 9, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison." We'll stop right there. May we know that we know that we know that our King has spoken, that our King has spoken. May God bless ancient words, ever true. We believe in sola scriptura, the book alone, the Bible alone. We believe in that. We endeavor by God's grace not to add to it, nor take away from it. May God bless. May we know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord here today, pursue him. Run after him. Call upon the name of the Lord. And he gives a promise, those that call upon my name, I will save. I will save. Let's bow our heads and hearts and ask the Lord's blessing, please. Father, we thank you for the new birth. We thank you for the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, bringing us to Christ. Lord, thank you today for faith in Christ Jesus the Lord, the anchor of our souls. Lord, our faith in him is that which keeps us and blesses us. Lord, we look unto you and ask, Lord, for your blessings in our lives today. Lord, thank you for these words, the words of our Lord, the challenge that he brings to our hearts. I almost at times say with Nicodemus, how can these things be? Lord, help us to know that this is your regeneration of men. Lord, that you would give grace in the lives of men, we rejoice. Bless in the midst of this service, Lord. Bless in the remainder as those who, as our dear brother Justin will stand, please give grace in his life as he looks in Genesis today. Bless you for this time now. We rejoice in your love. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.